Our text this morning will come from Psalm 37. Psalm 37 on page 466 in your pew Bibles. Psalm 37, this is in the Old Testament on page 466. The right people do not always win the battle, and righteousness does not always prove victorious. Sometimes the wrong side wins the war, and sometimes good people and their names are tarnished. The righteous do not always prosper, and in fact, when we look at the world around us, oftentimes we see that those who are most rebellious against Christ are the most prosperous. Sometimes it's those who love Jesus the most who have to suffer the most. Some of you have experienced that in a variety of different ways. When that happens to you, you're faced with a decision. You can either be bitter, you can turn cynical, you can turn anxious, or you can trust that the light of the Lord will bring righteousness to light. Speaking from very personal experience, when things do not go the way they ought to go, and when things appear senseless, what do? That's when you turn to Psalm 37. Psalm 37 is about trusting the Lord, especially when things do not go the way they should. We live in a fallen world where oftentimes righteousness is despised, truth is buried, and senseless things happen. Not only nationally, but even individually in your own life. And you think, why? Why did this particular thing happen to me? This sort of thing is supposed to only happen to them. Why has this happened to me? Well, Psalm 37. This is a beautiful psalm. It's a psalm of David. Our Lord Jesus will pick up several of these verses in his preaching in the Sermon on the Mount. And so as we read this together, just remember, this is the psalm that teaches you to trust not only when, but especially when there are injustices and the wicked seem to prosper. So beginning at verse 1 of David, "Fret not yourself because of evildoers, and be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, and over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself, it tends only to evil. For the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land." In just a little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. The wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes his teeth at him. But the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked draw the sword and bend their bows to bring down the poor and needy, to slay those whose way is upright. Their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. Better is the little that the righteous has than the abundance of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the blameless, and their heritage will remain forever. They are not put to shame in evil times. In the days of famine, they have abundance. But the wicked will perish. The enemies of the Lord are like the glory of the pastures. They vanish like smoke. They vanish away. The wicked borrows but does not pay back. But the righteous is generous and gives. For those blessed by the Lord shall inherit the land, but those cursed by him shall be cut off. The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. I have been young, and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, or his children begging for bread. He is ever lending generously, and his children become a blessing. Turn away from evil and do good, so shall you dwell forever. For the Lord loves justice. He will not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, but the children of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell upon it forever. The mouth of the righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice. The law of his God is in his heart. His steps do not slip. The wicked watches for the righteous and seeks to put him to death. The Lord will not abandon him to his power or let him be condemned when he is brought to trial. Wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. You will look on when the wicked are cut off. I have seen a wicked, ruthless man spreading himself like a green laurel tree. But he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Though I sought him, he could not be found. Mark the blameless, and behold the upright, for there is a future for the man of peace. But transgressors shall be altogether destroyed. The future of the wicked shall be cut off. The salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their stronghold in the time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them, because they take refuge in him. So this is a psalm that teaches you that it is the meek who will inherit the earth. It teaches you how to respond when evil appears to triumph. It teaches you how to endure suffering. It trains you how to go through pain. It teaches you how to think. Scriptures train us in thinking. They train us to think a certain way. The way the Bible is applied is to our minds, our affections, our conscience, our will. It's applied to your minds. How do you think? Your thinking will affect your actions. And the Scriptures train you how to respond in your thoughts. How should you respond in your thinking when evil appears to triumph? When senseless crimes are committed, here and abroad, how do you respond? Look at verse 1. Fret not. You don't burn with anger. You don't allow your heart to burn with bitterness. You fret not. It's easy to become obsessed and deeply cynical in a world like this. And here's the psalmist saying, fret not. It's the same thing the Apostle Paul will say in his letter to the Philippians, do not be anxious. Fret not. It stirs your blood when you see evil rise to the top. Don't worry. Why? Look at verse 1. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, those who live a lifestyle of disobedience. Why should you not worry about them rising to the top? Look at verse 2. They will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. That's the theme of the rest of the psalm. Why should you trust? Why should you not fret and worry? Because those who live a life of willful disobedience to the Lord, despite all of their attempts to resist the Lord and His Christ and persecute His people, despite all of that, they're going to be like the grass. What happens to grass when it gets dry? It's all crumbly, isn't it? David is saying they're going to crumble. They will wither like the green herb. So you don't worry. And then in verse 3, you trust. You trust and obey. Look at verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. You trust that He is good, and then you yourself will do good. Trust in the Lord and do good. That might sound overly simplistic, but there's David. Trust and obey. You trust in the Lord and you do good. It's the way Jesus put it to His disciples. Let your good works so shine before men. That's the Sermon on the Mount. That's Matthew 5:16. Let your good works shine before men. What sort of men are you surrounded by? Evildoers, wrongdoers, lawbreakers. You trust and obey. And simply by you living your life as a truster, walking in obedience, simply by those two things, you set yourself apart. So you don't worry. You don't worry because evildoers, they'll fade like the grass. You trust and you obey. Verse 4, you delight in the Lord. I mean, it's just one imperative. It's one command after another here. You delight yourself in the Lord. You know, for the Christian, his or her supreme delight is in Jesus. Our delight, our satisfaction is not found in this world. Our delight, our supreme satisfaction is found in Christ, our fountain. He is our delight. With Him is the fountain of life. In His light we see light. And if Jesus is your delight, look at what is promised here. Look at verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. If your delight is in Christ, His promise to you is He will never withhold Himself from you. He will never be stingy with Himself, His time, His words, or His grace. You delight yourself in Him as your treasure, and He will never ever hold Himself back. You know, that's a promise. That is a blank check. Your supreme delight is not in what happens in the world or the goods you accumulate or in the outcome of certain events. Your delight is in Christ. And He, again and again, out of the fullness that's in Him, He gives Himself to you again and again. So you don't worry, you trust, you delight yourself in the Lord. And then look at verse 5. You commit. Regardless of what the evildoers do, regardless of what the world does, what should you do? Commit your way to the Lord. All you can control is your own life. You can't control what happens out there. We wish we could. They didn't ask our opinion. But you can't control it. All you can do is take care of your own life, your own family. If you're single, your own household. You commit your way to the Lord and you trust in Him and He will act. So you walk in obedience regardless of what others do. And what's promised here? What's promised is even though righteousness can be buried in the tomb of the unknown, it waits a certain resurrection. Look at this. Look at verse 6. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. So you have every incentive to be still. We get so anxious. And our hearts just get restless. And our blood starts to boil. And words start to spew out like a volcano. Here's David, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, saying, just rest. You just pause. Rest where? Look at verse 7. You be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Just like the children of Israel had to stand and be still as the Lord parted the Red Sea, you and I are faced by a Red Sea of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And it's not yours to win or lose. The battle is the Lord's, and you trust Him to part the waters. Look at verse 6. Verse 7. You be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in His way. So there's all the reason in the world to refrain from anger. Christians ought not be angry people. That's not who we are. Now, our spirits are provoked when we see idolatry. It's just like Paul walking through Athens. Our souls are stirred. And there is a righteous indignation over idolatry and sin. But Christians ought to be known as being a joyful people. Y'all, do you know what we have? We have Christ as our treasure. So yes, we refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Do you know how many families would be transformed if they just obeyed verse 8? How many marriages would be healed? Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. You fret not yourself, it tends only to evil. Why is David able to say all these things? Why is David saying, don't worry, trust, obey, commit your way to the Lord? Why is he able to say, refrain from anger and forsake wrath? Why is he saying all these things? Well, because, looking at verses 10 and 11, David is saying, in just a little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there. Why are you able to refrain from anger and not worry when you see wickedness and vileness exalted to the top? Well, because you trust the Lord for this life and the life to come, that justice will be served for the righteous and justice will be executed on the wicked. And y'all, that is a promise of grace to you. The Lord preserves His people. He is a wall of fire around His people. He will not allow His people, His treasure, His gems, He will not allow them to be permanently, irrevocably tarnished. No, He preserves His people. The Lord does not forsake or abandon His people. The Lord has His people. And so that's what David says here. The meek shall inherit the land. The evildoers will be cut off. They're going to wither like dry grass. But the meek shall inherit the earth. Who is the man that fears the Lord? David asks in Psalm 25. Him will he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the land. That's Psalm 25. Jesus picks up this notion as well. As Jesus gives you a character sketch of a Christian, as Jesus describes what a Christian looks like, He says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They know that they are spiritually bankrupt. They know they have nothing to offer. They're poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. Because they know that they are spiritually bankrupt, they mourn and they weep over their sin. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And then he says, blessed are the meek. Blessed are those whose will has been subdued to the gospel. Blessed are those who have been bent to the will of God. Blessed are those who know that they are sinful, who mourn over that sin, and now, having been offered the grace of the gospel, blessed are those who bend in faith and repentance before God. Y'all, the Beatitudes, they breathe the essence of true spirituality. What does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to be a spiritual person? You know that you're a sinner, you mourn over that sin, and you bend to the gospel. And so now you hunger and thirst after righteousness. You yourself are now merciful. Just like David writes here in verse 21, the righteous is generous and gives. You are now merciful. And you're shown mercy. You're now striving to be pure in heart. Your ambition is to be a peacemaker. And you willingly endure persecution, knowing that the evildoers will be cut off and wither like dry grass. So here is David, and Jesus picks up this very statement, the meek shall inherit the land. You know, what does it mean to be meek? So often, this term meek, it's so ill-defined. Jesus is not saying, blessed are the passive. David is not saying, blessed are the pushovers. They're not saying, blessed are those who are weak-minded, who always say yes, who never say no. Blessed are those who just go along to get along. Blessed are those who have an easygoing personality. That is not what David means. That is not what Jesus means. What is true meekness? Meekness is humility before God. It is submission to God. It is bending to God. When the righteous suffer and evil triumphs, your tendency and mine is to shake our fist and say, why? It should not be this way. Our tendency is to command God to do what ought to be done. And what David is saying is, when the evil prosper, you need to trust the Lord. You trust Him that He is good and that righteousness will be served. Meekness is not so much about yielding to other people as it is submitting before God. Now, what you find is that when you practice submission and humility before God, what you'll find is that that bleeds over into a gentleness and forbearance with other people. And you know, especially people in leadership are called on to exercise that meekness. No less a military leader than Robert E. Lee himself said the definition of a gentleman. Here's your definition of a gentleman. What is a gentleman? Here's a gentleman. A gentleman is someone who has a forbearing use of power. That he doesn't show off his superiority. He doesn't put on display his higher learning for all to see. He doesn't shame other people. He doesn't ridicule other people. Meekness, a humility, a forbearance, a patience with people. And notice the promise that's made here. The meek, those who practice submission before God and forbearance with other people, the meek shall inherit the earth. And y'all, this is such a vital point. David repeats it. Verse 11, you have verse 22. Those blessed by the Lord shall inherit the land. You have it again in verse 29. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell upon it forever. You have it again in verse 34. Wait for the Lord and keep His way, and He will exalt you to inherit the land. Y'all, you have a treasure. You have an inheritance that is given to you. What is David doing? David is drawing off of what he already knows. David's drawing off of the promise which God made to Abraham and to his descendants. God promised to Abraham land, a piece of ground where they would live and a nation would be built. David is saying that promise is fulfilled to the meek, those who humble themselves before God. You know what this shows you? This statement that the meek shall inherit the earth. It shows you, first of all, that God has a people. A people whom He has loved from the foundation of the world. A people who are in covenant with Him. He has made them His own people. And they are set apart from all the other people. There's a distinction being made. There's a boundary that's drawn. God has His people. And furthermore, it's showing you, not only does God have His people, it's showing you everything that we have as His people, everything that we enjoy comes straight from Him. And so then there's no need for worry and excessive anxiety. The way Jesus applies Psalm 37 in His preaching, the Sermon on the Mount, He says, don't worry about what you're going to wear. what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink. You seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. You have no need to kill yourself with worry. You know what? Worry and anxiety will debilitate you. It will leave you in bed. It will cripple your daily life. It's self-destructive. And what does David say here? The steps of a man are established by the Lord. Verse 24, though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong. Verse 25, I've been young, now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. You can trust him. Everything that you have comes from him, and it's a gift. The meek shall inherit the earth, which means God has his people. Everything they have comes from him. And furthermore, all of the earth will be subdued under him. The whole earth, every tribe, tongue, language, and nation, all the earth will be subdued to him. The meek shall inherit the earth. Y'all, who's the ultimate? Who is the supreme one who was meek and who was persecuted and who was laid in the grave and then who came out of the grave? Y'all, it's Christ. Christ is the speaker. Christ is the one spoken of. He is the meek, and as the head of his body, the church, as the one who gave the Great Commission, he says about himself, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. You know, he's the one who reigns. His is the kingdom which stretches from shore to shore. His is the one. His is the reign. His is the country. He is the better king of a better country with better laws. And he's never up for re-election. This is your king. This is your sovereign. He is your head. And the earth is subdued to him. And you know what? That submission of the whole earth to the supremacy of Jesus, that commission is given to you and me. What does he tell us to do? Right after he says, all power is given to me, what does he say? You go. You teach. You baptize. You make disciples. You teach them everything I've commanded. You know, why do we press on in revival prayer and personal evangelism? Why? Because we're convinced that Jesus will inherit not just one part of the globe, but he will inherit the nations. Why do we support missionaries in foreign lands? I mean, some of the hardest places. Why do you do that? Because you trust that Jesus will inherit the earth and the nations will belong to him. And y'all, we are praying and we are laboring for that day when the knowledge of the glory of the Lord covers the earth as the waters cover the sea. Y'all, that's a mission worth lining up behind. That's a cause worth fighting for. That's a banner you can rally to, that Jesus will inherit the earth. What's David saying? The meek have a possession. What's that saying? The Lord has his people. Everything they have comes from him, and the earth will be subdued to him. And finally, there is a full reward that's coming. What do you do when you see righteousness put down and wickedness is promoted? That happens all the time. That's not just the political world. That's every corner of society. What do you do with that? You trust. There is a final and full reward that's coming. And what's the reward? What is David saying? The meek shall inherit the earth. The promise of land that was made to Abraham, that promise is fulfilled in Jesus. The whole earth given to Jesus. And then furthermore, let's take it a step further. That promise of land, that promise of an inheritance, that is a treasure. That's a piece of ground that's given to you as the Lord's people. And where is that ground? Where is that zip code? Yo, that land that's promised, it's a picture of the greater country, the greater land. It's a picture of heaven. And I'm not just making this up. Look at verse 18. The Lord knows the days of the blameless and their heritage. What's their heritage? The earth that's given to them as an inheritance. Their heritage will remain forever. It is an eternal inheritance. Y'all, you're given a title. And the deal has been closed. The deal has been closed by your king, the one who secured the land on your behalf. And you have a promise laid up. You have an inheritance laid up. The promise of land equals the promise of heaven. The land of Canaan. You know, that's an old hymn. When I can read my title clear to mansions in the sky. You have a title. And it's signed, dated, and delivered. And it's yours. You have a possession. And it's a proud possession. The Lord has His people. Everything they have comes from Him. And regardless of what they endure in this life, they know they can wait patiently for the sun to come up. And they can wait for the final reward to be given. In just a little while, David says, the wicked will be no more. And though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. And may you know that peace today through the Lord Jesus Christ, Him, the only Savior of sinners. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we, in meekness, we would embrace the Word which is able to save our souls. Lord, we trust Your promise today that You will beautify the meek with salvation. Lord Jesus, that You came to preach the gospel to the meek, to bend them to Your will. Lord Jesus, we pray that You would bend each of us to Your will. Lord, that You would train us in submission to the will of God. And then, O Lord, that You would fill our heart with joy at the inheritance that is ours. Lord, in this season, we pray that You would calm and quiet our souls and that You would train us to delight ourselves in the Lord, who will never let us down. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.